एवं एतं हरिमेदसो हरे कथं सुभद्रं कथनीयमायनः शृण्वीत वक्या श्रवयेत वोषति च नारदनोऽस्यासुहृदि प्रसीदति। If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Bor, which is worthy of description, the Lord who is within the heart of everyone is very pleased. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In His various incarnations, the Lord appears and acts and leaves behind Him a narrative history which is as transcendental as He Himself. Every one of us is fond of hearing some wonderful narration, but most stories are neither auspicious nor worth hearing because they are of the inferior quality of material nature. Every living entity is of superior quality, spirit soul, and nothing material can be auspicious for him. Intelligent persons should therefore hear personally and cause others to hear the descriptive narrations of the Lord's activities, for that will destroy the pangs of material existence. Out of his causeless mercy only, the Lord comes to this earth and leaves behind him his merciful activities so that the devotees may derive transcendental benefit. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha, text number 48. The narration of the avatar of Sri Varaha Dev has just been completed. And it culminates with this most auspicious benediction, that if one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Bor, which is worthy of description, the Lord who is within the heart of everyone is very pleased. Srimad Bhagavatam declares the purpose of life is to please the Supreme Absolute Truth, or Krishna. Atha pum beard vichastres tas barana swami vibhagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshana. Whatever one's spiritual position in the ashram, or whatever one's occupational duties may be, our perfection and great success is through our desires and our efforts we please Krishna. If the Lord is pleased, even if materially it appears we fail, we are of an ultimate success. Krishna is bhavagrahi. He accepts the spirit of devotion He accepts the purpose in which everything is offered to him, not the thing itself. After all, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he's the proprietor of everything that exists. He's the doer in man. He's the ability, the intelligence, the strength of every living being. So what does the Lord need from us? But patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachit. Even if we offer a little fruit, a leaf, a flower, or some water with devotion, Krishna becomes very hungry and eager to accept it. Because Krishna accepts our intention, our purpose. If our purpose is actually to please Him, and with all noble means we endeavor, that in and of itself is success. And that is what Krishna teaches in the Sri Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna, you fight for the sake of fighting. You fight for me, to protect and establish dharma in this world. And whether you win or lose is not important. But it is, you'll attain perfection either way. If you lose, you'll go back home, back to Godhead, because you did it for me. And if you win, then you will establish true dharma throughout the world. So we should not be attached to the fruits or the results of our actions. But we should strive with enthusiasm, determination, and purity of motives to perform our work for the pleasure of the Lord. Yadyaratakamanonyatra lokomam karma bandana. Third chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that work done as a sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord must be performed. Any other work we do is a cause of karmic bondage. There are three modes of material nature: sattva, goodness; raja, passion; and tama, ignorance. And these three modes of nature are influencing and controlling everyone, being activated by the Lord in the form of time. And there are activities, sacrifices, and desires that are performed in ignorance, passion, and goodness. These are described in the Vedic literatures and also in Sri Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna tells us through Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjana Nirdvandvo Nitya Shatvashto Niryogakshema Atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with these three modes of material nature. If we follow them, then we will be elevated in a material sense for greater happiness and prosperity. If we neglect them, we will engage in sinful karmic activities and sow the seeds of future suffering and anxiety. But Krishna says, rise above these modes of nature, Arjuna. Rise above them and be situated in the true nature of the eternal self. And how to do that? Through practicing bhakti. Bhaktya atvana nyaya shatya aham evam vidurajana. Jyatam drastam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parantava. Krishna tells, it is only by devotional service, by bhakti, by engaging in our activities, by cultivating desires in the spirit of loving service for the pleasure of the Lord. Bahunam janmanamante jnanabam mampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. After many births and many deaths of practicing various religious systems, engaging in pious activities, when one finally comes to the point of knowledge, one surrenders to Vasudeva. knowing Krishna to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a great soul is very rare. That is the perfection of life. Sarvadharman parityasya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo moksha isham masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Bhagavat describes when you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is spontaneously fulfilled. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti mat papajante mam buddha bhava samandita. Krishna is the source of everything that exists. He's the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from Him. Janmadya shayataha. Therefore, when we engage in His loving service, we are fulfilling the very essence and purpose of all dharma. That is Sanatana Dharma. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaivam so jivaloke jiva buddha sanatana. We can never become God. God is Vibhu. He is unlimited and infinite. But the spirit soul is Anu. Qualitatively of the same nature as the Lord, Satchidananda. But always subordinate. And we have free will to either be subordinate to the Lord's spiritual nature, where we enter into His eternal loving lila, are subordinate to His maya shakti, material nature, where we are bound by the ropes of the three gunas and forced to toil birth after birth after birth trying to find some illusory happiness. But Bhagavan is so kind that even for those who have chosen to live in the exploitative mood of the enjoyer, rather than according to our nature, jivera swarupoi krishnera nityadas, as the servants of the Lord. The nature of the part is to serve the whole. The greatest happiness of the soul is to love Krishna and experience Krishna's love. But since time immemorial, we have forgotten. Janasya mohoya mahamma meti. We are under the misconception that I am this body and those things in relationship to this body are mine. This human life is so rare. Padma Purana describes there are 8,400,000 species of life. We're raising families, accumulating articles for protection and enjoyment, for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is prominent. But in human life, we are blessed with a very, very high conscious state, with great intelligence. The blessing of human life that separates it from all others is the capacity to inquire who I am, why is there suffering? What is the purpose of life? Where am I coming from? Who is God? And what is my relationship with God? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Brahma Sutra declares, until we ask these questions, we have not really begun qualitatively our human life. The Lord is so kind. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. The Lord descends into this world again and again and again in various incarnations for the simple purpose of reminding us of the true happiness that we're seeking and where we can find it. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya cha duskritam. dharma samstapanaratya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna appears in this world to deliver his devotees and protect them, to reestablish the principles of religion and to destroy misconceptions in those who represent it. And the Lord's activities, the Lord's form, the Lord's name, the Lord's appearance are transcendental. This is the most important thing to understand. Janma karma cha medivyam evam yoviti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mam eti surajuna. Krishna says that the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, one who understands them never has to take birth in this material world again, but attains my eternal spiritual abode. Special effects. This is the Lord's mercy. We are reading about Lord Varaha, who appeared long, long ago, long before the modern conception of history, and performed such a wonderful activity. The earth was in a most lamentable, pitiful, and helpless condition, and the Lord appeared as a gigantic boar to lift the earth and save all of the residents and reestablish the truth. Yet the narration of the Lord's wonderful pastimes is given to us even today in Srimad Bhagavatam and other great Vedic literatures. And we can actually enter into that lila through transcendental sound vibration. How wonderful! Over 5,000 years ago, in the field of Kurukshetra, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And even today, by the mercy of Vedavyas and the great Acharyas of Parampara, we can hear that same narration. One time our dear godbrother Hayagriva Prabhu was with Srila Prabhupada. They went to upstate New York where there was a yoga retreat. Prabhupada gave some lectures, kirtan. And at night, Hayagriva Prabhu was sleeping in the forest under some trees, gazing upon the stars. And that night he had a dream. In that dream, he saw Krishna instructing Arjuna the teachings of the Gita. And then the dream changed. He was sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet and Prabhupada was teaching him Bhagavad Gita. And in that dream he realized it is the same thing, the same benefit. And he went to Prabhupada and he said, this was my experience, that me hearing Bhagavad Gita from you was absolutely non-different than Arjuna hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna directly. And Srila Prabhupada smiled and with deep gravity replied, "You have understood. This is parampara. Evam parampara praptam." Krishna tells that this message is to be understood through disciplic succession or parampara. Otherwise, everyone gives their own opinion, their own realization. We may be very, very intellectually astute, but you can never understand the absolute truth beyond the mind, beyond the intelligence, beyond all material conceptions, through our intellect. We can never understand the absolute truth through logic. We can never understand the absolute truth by austerities or penances or practicing various yoga positions. We can only understand the absolute truth when the absolute truth reveals himself to us by his own sweet will, by his mercy. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is explaining, evam parampara praptam, that the knowledge that I speak must be received through parampara, through disciplic succession of great acharyas who have preserved the original words and the original intent of my words. Krishna tells in Gita, Man manabhava mad bhakto madhya jimnam namaskuru mamai vaishyashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. It is my promise, my dear friend. This is what Krishna is teaching. So how to always think of him? Shukadev Goswami heard from his father Vyasadev. Vyasadev heard from his Guru Maharaj Narada. Narada heard from his Guru Maharaj Brahma. And Brahma heard directly from Krishna at the very dawn of creation. So what Sukadev Goswami is speaking here in Srimad Bhagavatam is not his opinion. It is what has been passed down through parampara. This is all important. When we hear, according to this verse, it is so important. Not only what we hear, but how we hear. Please understand, this is the critical secret to understand and realize the absolute truth. The Lord has descended in so many avatars out of His causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada explains here in this beautiful purport how people are very attracted to hear something. People want to hear music. People read books. People read newspapers and magazines. People are going to the cinemas. They want to occupy their minds in seeing and hearing, seeking some pleasure through this process. Where does this inclination come from? It's in every human being. It comes from the original nature of the soul. If you love someone, you want to constantly be speaking the glories of that person and hear about the glories of that person. And Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is the nature of the soul, which is innate within every person's heart, to be longing to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Not for the purpose of liberation, but for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. That is love. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanyanavita anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktiruttama. What is actual love? Love is complete absorption of one's heart in pleasing the object of one's love. And that is manifested through service. True bhakti, true prema or love, is without a trace of desire for personal, egoistic desires to be fulfilled. Without any tinge of material desires for profit, adoration, distinction, or any type of sensual pleasure. And pure love is without the slightest inclination for yogic cities, for the capacity to perform miracles, which will attract everyone's attention. Pure spiritual love is without even the slightest tinge of desire for liberation or mukti. The perfection of mukti is prem, or love. The Braj Gopis, their state of consciousness was so pure that when Krishna had headache, he wanted to show the glories of what a real self-realized soul is about. He told his devotee, "The only thing that will cure my headache is to take the dust of the feet of my devotees. Go to the sages and rishis." Huh? Putting the dust of our feet on the head of Bhagavan? We will go to hell. We will have to suffer endlessly. No, we cannot do this. That makes sense. But when gopis were requested, immediately they scraped all the dust they could find from the bottoms of their feet. And they were asked, "Do you not know what will happen if you put your feet on Krishna's head?" They said, "Yes, absolutely, we will go to hell forever. You don't mind?" "No. If our going to hell and suffering relieves Krishna from his headache for even a moment, that will be the perfection of our life." That is love. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshaje ahoyta kiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving service to the absolute truth. But that loving service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. Srinvatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtan hridyantastohya bhadrani vidunoti suhritsatam. When we take pleasure in hearing the narrations of the Lord is so pleased that within our heart He cleans all of the anartas, all of the egoistic contaminations. Lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion. These are the six type of pollutants that are the enemies of the soul, that are residing within our own hearts. We actually have no enemies outside of ourselves. Krishna tells in Gita that the only enemy we have is our own filthy, dirty mind. When the mind is clean, it is the best friend. And when the mind is uncontrolled due to the influence of these enemies, the mind becomes our only real enemy. Because actually, whoever does anything to us, or whatever situation comes upon us, if we just fix our mind on Krishna with gratitude and devotion, tatenu kampam susumikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipagam, then the difficulties that come upon us actually become a vehicle that will bring us to the perfectional state of self-realization. In happiness or distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, victory or defeat, failure or success, these dualities will always come upon everybody. Whatever arrangements we make in this world, we are subjected to dualities beyond our control. But whatever comes, if we remember the Lord, if we remember His holy names, if we remember His beautiful pastimes, if we remember His instructions, and we take shelter, we become purified. We attain the perfection of life. So the environment is not the problem. It is how we are responding to circumstances that is the problem. Therefore, the real success and aim of life is to clean the temple of our hearts. And how is that to be done? Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksam sabhayabhyantara suchi. Whether we are purified or whether we are impure, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes purified from both within and without. The Lord is pavitra. He is all pure. By associating with pure, we become purified. And what is the most powerful and effective way of associating with the all-pure Lord? Through sound vibration. By hearing His beautiful, merciful pastimes, which are factual history. But unlike the histories of this world, they are eternal. If you hear the Lord's Leela, if you hear the Lord's teachings, if you remember the Lord's form or hear His holy names, you're actually directly and personally in touch with the Lord. That is the glory. But how to hear? First of all, we must hear from the right source, and we must hear in the proper consciousness. And that is the essence of today's verse. One who hears and describes in a devotional service attitude this auspicious narration, which is worthy of description, the Lord who is within the heart is pleased and cleans our heart and ultimately reveals Himself from within. So according to this beautiful verse, srinvita bhaktya sravayeta voshatim, that bhakti, we must hear from one who has devotion. And we must hear in an attitude of devotional service to the Lord. Then the true effect of pleasing the Lord within the heart actually takes place. Shukadeva Goswami, he had already attained liberation. He remained within the womb of his mother for 12 years because he had no concern with seeing the entangling illusions of this world that everyone is so mad after. But just by hearing the glorious narration of Lord Krishna's leelas and his various incarnations, he came out of the womb to hear more. He was Atmarama, completely self-satisfied. But in the liberated state, beyond all material miseries, he was eager and anxious for the ecstasy of devotional service, eager for ecstatic love, which is experienced through hearing the glories of the Lord and speaking the glories of the Lord. It was Sukadeva Goswami who spoke Bhagavatam. And Parikshit Maharaj, who only had 7 days to live, was so eager to hear in a spirit of surrender and devotion. Thus, in 7 days, he attained the supreme perfection of life simply by hearing the glories of the Lord. The Lord's pastimes, the Lord's teachings, which are in the scriptures and repeated by the devotees, is of a transcendental nature. It has the power to clean our heart and awaken the inner sleeping natural love for God that is within us. And what is the quality of one who tastes the nectar of loving God within the heart? That we see the presence of a part of God in every person's heart. Therefore, unconditional, unmotivated love for every living being is the natural quality of one who has true bhakti. What greater need is there in this world than that? Whether one is a businessman or a student or a housewife or a lawyer or a politician or a doctor or a field worker, it doesn't matter. What is important is that through hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord in proper spiritual association, we clean our hearts. We realize the essence within us, which is Krishna praying, love. And we express that love in a spirit of compassion in whatever we do in our life. That is yoga in its essence. The perfection of yoga is not just doing an asana in perfect form. It isn't simply following the strict principles of celibacy throughout our lives. It isn't simply fixing our mind on one object without deviation. The perfection of yoga is that whatever we do, yat karosi rashnasi yajtohosi dadasya yat tapasyasi kontya tat kurushva madarpanam. Everything we do, everything we eat, everything we, all of the, our charity, all of our offerings, every thought, every word, every action is an offering of love to the Supreme. And how? As an instrument of His compassion within this world. That is real religion. That is real yoga. That is Sanatana Dharma. But we must have faith. Without faith, we cannot develop these inner spiritual virtues. Faith in Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. The historical narrations of the Lord's teachings and His activities are within the Holy Scriptures. And the Sadhu is meant to embody these teachings in his or her words and life. But this is the age of Kali. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It is an age where religion is taken to be irreligion and irreligion is taken to be religion. It is the age of spiritual laziness and neglect. People are so determined and so enthusiastic to foam at the mouth and work so hard just to get some money and prestige. But when it comes to the true needs of the soul that is starving, we don't have time. We're too busy. Why? Because we don't have faith. And there's good reason why people do not have faith. Throughout the world historically, we find that when spiritual leaders who attract people's faith disappoint their hearts through either corrupt or immoral activities, then people's faith are often severely damaged. The Bhagavatam explains, when you have a clay pot, it can hold water. it can hold nectar. But when that pot is broken, it's very difficult to put it back together. So through proper association, we're trying to create this pot of faith. Faith that can actually hold, contain the nectar of the Lord's mercy. But when that pot is broken, it becomes very difficult. And we have seen in the West, in the East, that due to people in spiritually high positions, when they exploit others, or when they do not live according to the principles that they are duty-bound to live by, people lose their faith. And they lose their faith in the holy man. They lose the faith in the scriptures. They lose their faith in the path of Dharma. And then they simply take shelter of material existence once again. Vitaraga bayakroda manmaya mamupashyata bahavo jnana tapasa putamad bhava mahagataha. Krishna tells in Gita, one who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, how? By completely taking shelter of the Lord. That is the liberated state. To take complete shelter of the Lord. But in order to take complete shelter of the Lord, we must have faith. Therefore, it is the foremost responsibility of every human being who wants to represent the Lord to live without hypocrisy. Great personalities are willing to forsake all their wealth, their health, and their life before betraying their vows before God. That is saintly behavior. So yes, the age of Kali Yuga is full of misconceptions. And sometimes we find throughout the world, in the name of religion, people who cannot follow the proper ethics, morals, and philosophy of truth, they justify it. And they create a whole philosophical system with their good intelligence to justify a dharma. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved spiritual master, he performed a great miracle. He came to New York City in 1965, and he entered into an entire generation of faithless people. Why faithless? Because they were fed up. They were sick of hypocrisy. They saw so many people preaching religion, but were judgmental, egoistic, immoral. Therefore, they rejected their own religions. They saw people who, in the name of religion, were simply sentimental and superstitious, without really any answers or without any real transformation in their heart that made them different than any faithless persons. They rejected religion as something that was just useless, archaic. But they also rejected so many of the norms of materialistic society. Because they saw that the materialistic philosophy is if you have money, if you have strength, if you have fame, if you have all of these things, you will be happy. And they were coming from middle class, upper middle class, and wealthy families that had money and riches and prestige, and they saw that everyone was hypocritical and in anxiety. They lost all faith in the material conception, and they lost all faith in spiritual conceptions. They became hippies. Someone asked Prabhupada, "What is hippie?" And Prabhupada said, "Something extraordinary." Now, what do you do with people like this? They've revolted against materialistic civilization and all of its norms and the status quo of society, and they've totally rejected and revolted against religion, morality. For those people, morality was like an obscene word. Morality reminds them of all the hypocrisy of religion. Throw it out forever. Why? Because they just didn't see any examples of persons who actually lived by the truth. Srila Prabhupada came. What did he have to offer them? He didn't have jobs to offer them. He didn't have money to offer them. He didn't have a place to stay to offer. He had nothing. All he had was his compassion and his example. All he had was a box of books wherein he was writing beautiful purports according to the essence of the principles of Parampara, revealing the glory of Krishna, the philosophy of life. And just by being with him and seeing the purity of his example, that not only could he speak in such a way to answer every question in life, not only could he describe the beauty, the sweetness, and the all-attractive qualities of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, but he manifested the qualities of one who loved Krishna. He practiced what he preached. He lived according to the highest principles. When one newspaper reporter asked Prabhupada, "How do we know who is your true devotee?" Now, this newspaper reporter was not a philosopher. Prabhupada answered his question according to his level of perception. He said, "You can understand one who's actually following my teachings because that person will be a perfect lady or gentleman." The ornaments of a person who is actually sadhu is they have control over their senses. They have great tolerance and the capacity to forgive others, even for the greatest offenses and injustices that are afflicted upon one. These are the qualities of a great soul. Tolerance and forgiveness. Not deviating from the poor path of morality and ethics through uncontrolled senses. One is a friend to all living beings. One is compassionate to others. One speaks only according to the true word of God that is in the scriptures. These are some of the qualities of an actual saintly person. Devotees
or let us say before they were devotees, these faithless revolutionaries that were coming to Prabhupada, they were scrutinizingly analyzing him, trying to find some fault. But they couldn't. He simply repeated the narrations of the Lord's glories, and he lived by those teachings so perfectly that these faithless revolutionaries developed faith. And what kind of faith? Within a matter of days to take vows, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, not to indulge in performing any violence to any living beings, being truthful, being an instrument of the Lord's compassion to others. Major transformation, simply based on faith. So it is the foremost duty of every devotee to live in such a way that we can encourage people's faith in what we represent. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that every devotee should become guru. What does that mean? To speak the truth and to live in such a way that people will have faith in the truth that you represent. Prabhupada explained, when a devotee misbehaves in the eyes of the world, that devotee is throwing a blemish on the character of his guru and Krishna. If a Christian misbehaves, what is the use of these Christians? What is the use of Jesus? If a Hare Krishna misbehaves, what is the use of this? We see in Islamic, these terrorists, people around the world are hating Islam because of some crazy people's behavior. It is a fact. Whatever you do, the people in general will see that you are representing the religion you're coming from or the spiritual movement you're coming from. And they'll see the quality of that movement according to you. Prabhupada represented Gaudiya Vaishnavism based on the teachings of Gita and Bhagavat. And because of his purity, because of his love, because of his compassion, people developed complete faith. But each and every one of us are responsible as followers to teach by our words and by our example. And one who simply develops a taste with faith in heart to hear the glories of the Lord pleases the Lord within our heart. And all of the corruptive pollutions of the heart are removed, and the essence of our very existence, pure unconditional love, awakens. What is the easiest way to constantly be in touch with the Lord through transcendental sound vibration? The Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation. Krishnesu dhamo bhagate dharma jnanadi bisa. That when Krishna departed from this world, he descended in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is none different than Krishna. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we are associating personally with Krishna. By hearing his teachings in Gita, we are sitting and listening to Krishna. Kali Kali Namarupe Krishna Avatar.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself as Yuga Avatar, he taught that of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is the chanting of the holy names. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasvigraha, because Krishna is none different than his name. All the glories and qualities of God are within the name. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarabhashaktis. It is not that Krishna is in his name. Krishna is his name. Radharani is her name. We are directly associating with Radha and Krishna when we chant their names. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that in this age of Kali, Haranama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Anyata, Bhagatir Anyata. There is no better way than the chanting of Lord Hari's names for purification and perfection. And simply by chanting the names of the Lord, guarding against the offenses of envy and immorality. We could fulfill the perfection of performing all the 9 processes of devotional service simply by sincerely and attentively taking shelter of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Would you like to speak something, Maharaj, please? Now, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj will illuminate our hearts with His wonderful realizations. That means that's a polite way of saying I put everyone to sleep. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We should end now? My beloved leader, Brajahari Prabhu, is saying we should have a few questions and answers. Is there any questions? Yes. Srila Prabhupada quotes from scripture, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. When we hear in the association of genuine and faithful souls, then faith develops within our heart. Our faith is very much dependent on the association we keep. When we read the literatures or hear the words of the representatives of Maya or illusion within this material world, that is a great disturbance to our faith. But when we hear the true and pure words from genuine devotees in that association, our faith is nourished. And that is all important. Some diseases do not manifest symptoms immediately. You can contract AIDS or hepatitis or these other diseases or even malaria, and it may not actually manifest symptoms for some weeks or even some years. But the disease is there. So when we are associating with the mundane, with Maya Devi, it's affecting our faith, whether we can perceive it immediately or not. So it is very important. Nasta prayeshya padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttamo sloke bhaktir bhavati naishthiki. The Bhagavatam recommends that we should hear transcendental knowledge. We should hear the glories of the Lord regularly, like medicine, regular doses. And not only should we hear, but we must hear in the association of person Bhagavats, people who actually have faith and who actually believe and are living by the principle of service to the personality of Godhead. By hearing and chanting in that association, even a very, very severely cracked pot of a heart can be restored and perfected by the grace of the Lord. When we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we are associating with Srila Prabhupada. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? Yes.
Can you please explain what was the promise of Lord Krishna to Arjuna and how to take care of Krishna coming to Ram?
The promise of Krishna to Arjuna. One, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me, and you will come to me without fail. This is my promise, because you are my friend. This is Krishna's promise not only to Arjuna but to all living beings. If we just remember Krishna in the spirit of a devotee, we will attain the perfection of Krishna, eternal service to Krishna. We will attain the abode of Krishna. And Krishna says, without fail. Now, Krishna is the absolute truth. When he makes a promise, it is absolute. Ordinary men or women could make promise, but they may not have the means to actually protect and carry out their promise. Yes? But Krishna is the absolute truth. He is the controller of all controllers. When Krishna makes a promise, that promise is infallible. So just remember Krishna. Become a devotee of Krishna. just be honest and sincere in this line, and you will attain Krishna without fail. And the easiest way of always remembering Krishna is to sincerely take shelter of chanting His holy name. One more question. I'm not able to hear. He is saying, according to Ekalavya Prabhu, I'm hearing this question in some disciplic succession, but that he's 39 years old and he didn't receive Krishna consciousness till he was 37. So why is this so, that so many years of his life were wasted? Yes? Hari. Every moment is so valuable and so precious. A moment of human life is more precious than everything else on earth. Because in that moment, we can offer our hearts to Krishna. You should be grateful that you have received this great blessing. For whatever reason, you did not come in contact with Krishna consciousness. It's obviously due to our own material attachments, our own egoistic pursuits in life. But by the causeless, inconceivable mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, you've been given the association of devotees. So what's most important to ask is how from this point on, because there isn't much time left, you're almost 40 years old. Yes? According to material society, they say life begins at 40. In your case, this is true. Half your life of more has been wasted, so let us make up for last time and try to keep Krishna always in our heart, in our mind, and try to take shelter with all sincerity. That is all important. If we regret that we have wasted half our life, we should be very, very careful not to waste another moment. I will end class by telling one story about Lord Varahadev and the intense eagerness to hear about him. Excuse me. One time, excuse me please, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he happened to hear someone describing the Leela of Lord Varahadev. He became so much ecstatic because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is in a role of a devotee. He ran to the house of Murari Gupta and cried out, Varaha, Varaha, Sukar, Sukar.
Boar, boar!
And Murari Gupta saw him in a very ecstatic mood. Murari Gupta offered us full obeisances. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually manifested his form of Lord Varahadeva with beautiful tusks and four hooves. Now, usually boars are not beautiful. I never heard in any type of poetry that you are beautiful like a pig. Nothing about pigs are beautiful except for another pig. Yes? You have a voice like a cuckoo. Does anyone say you have voice like a hog? You have eyes, Meenakshi, like a beautiful fish. But does anyone ever say you have eyes like a pig? Your nose is like a sesame flower. Nobody. Yes? You are heroic like a lion or a tiger. You are graceful like a swan. You have the majesty of an elephant. But no, if anything about you is compared to a pig or a hog or a boar, it's an insult. Yes? People have pictures of horses and pictures of cows and pictures of peacocks, but does anyone have pictures of hogs in their house? But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as a boar, he's extraordinarily beautiful. Demigods were intoxicated and falling unconscious, attracted to the beauty of Lord Varahadeva. The sages and rishis were offering beautiful, beautiful prayers. He was so beautiful. So here, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests this most extraordinarily beautiful, sweet, majestic form of Varahadeva. And he saw a very nice water pot on Murari Gupta's altar where he worshipped the Lord. And taking that little water pot to be representing the earth, Lord Chaitanya lifted it with his tusks. And then he told Murari Gupta, "Now you offer prayers to me." And Murari Gupta just was weeping in happiness and falling down in obeisance with folded palms. He said, "How can I possibly offer prayers to glorify you? Your glories are unlimited, Ananta Shesha." He's carrying thousands of universes on one of his thousand hoods. And with all of his mouths, he cannot find the end of your glories. Even the Vedas and all their supplementary literatures cannot find an end to your glories. Even the greatest of the sages and rishis, they cannot properly describe your infinite, glorious pastimes and mercy, the beauty of your form. Who am I? What can I say? My Lord, only you know your own glories. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke. There is a sannyasi in Varanasi. His name is Prakashananda. And with the words of the Vedas, he is misconstruing in such a way that he is saying that ultimately I have no eyes, I have no ears, I have no limbs, I have no body. Ultimately, I'm just an impersonal void. In this way, through his words, he is beating and trying to destroy my limbs, my personal form, which is the very essence of all yajna, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Therefore, he does not know it, but I put in his limbs leprosy. And then the Lord said that my body is eternal. It is full of knowledge and it is full of bliss. It is the ultimate source of everything that exists. And one who worships my form with love alone can attain my abode. Then the Lord continued, in this form of Lord Varahadeva, I descended from Vaikuntha. And I lifted the earth to rescue it from a filthy, dirty, lamentable place. And now I have come again to lift the earth, to rescue the earth from the deep ocean of ignorance and suffering through promoting the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki Gau Primanandi. Thank you very much.